I'm Alan Aisbert.
And I'm Griff, and this is Selling on eBay, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. Hey, welcome back to the co-host chair, Alan.
Thank you, sir. I'm very happy to be back.
So what's on the docket for this week?
This week, we continue with our theme, Know Your Buyers. On the main story, we'll meet eBay seller John Davis, known on eBay as Sergeant Red. John gives his take on buyers and how he keeps them happy and coming back.
And on the Inside eBay segment, I'll talk with one of my favorite people here at eBay, Sam Bright. He oversees the entire soft goods team. Sam will shed some light on how his team keeps a step ahead of what buyers want from a marketplace like eBay. And Alan, I assume you'll be bringing the buzz?
Oh, yes, indeed. But sadly, this week Doug is on the road on assignment with Brian Burke, visiting three seller meetups in the New York and New England area. So I guess that just leaves you, Griff, to help out.
Well, sounds like a regret. But no worries, or no whackers, as Liz says. I can rise to the challenge.
I have no doubt about that. You are a pro. Shall we go and start the show?
Oh, indeed. Up next, it's Alan with the buzz. Welcome to this week's The Buzz segment. Alan, what's been happening out there in eBay land this week?
Well, there are always certain topics that come up regularly on the community, and one of those topics that I'd like to touch on now is returns. So we've seen a number of conversations over the last week or so, and sellers have been discussing their experiences with returns and asking for policy clarification from eBay staff and from each other. By the way, Griff, what's your returns policy and what do you recommend?
Everything I sell is 60-day free returns. No questions asked.
Nice.
I just figure if you're going to be in commerce and it's online, demanding that your buyer be happy or they're stuck with the consequences, it doesn't work. I wouldn't expect it as a buyer, and I don't expect my buyers to expect it.
Yeah, and I know that when I'm purchasing anywhere online, I always check the returns policy. And if something is the same price or they're around the same price and a seller has a more generous returns policy than the other one, that's probably going to land a sale for that seller.
If you want to be successful online, take returns.
I do want to call out Seller Center at ebay.com/sellercenter has a ton of information on returns. Just go there and enter returns in the search box.
A lot of sellers like myself, we work the potential cost of returns into the sale price. The returns page in Seller Center has a handy little returns calculator to help you with that calculation.
Oh.
So you can use this calculator on that page to estimate how much you might add to each item you sell to compensate for the cost of returns so you can mitigate those costs.
So I don't even have to do the maths myself. You're telling me there's a tool out there. I just go to ebay.com/sellercenter, go there, type in a couple of numbers, and it will spit out what I need to add. Next up, I want to share an update regarding managed payments. On April 8th, Alyssa Cutright, who's our VP of Global Payments, Billing and Risk, announced that Google Pay is now live and that the PayPal integration is complete. Griff, you may be asking why we are introducing new payment methods to manage payments.
Hey, Alan, why are we introducing new payment methods to manage payments?
I'm glad you asked. We're adding new payment options because they offer buyers flexibility and choice. So right now, Google Pay and PayPal join Apple Pay, credit cards, debit cards, and gift cards in our suite of managed payment options. As we continue to build out the experience and the geographies we cover, we will expand the number of sellers participating in managed payments and give buyers the choices they expect while shopping. Sellers, if you want the latest information on managed payments, stay tuned to ebay.com/payments. Griff, we're on the same team, right?
You're not talking about sports teams.
No, I'm talking about eBay teams.
Ah, okay, I like that.
And we're always engaging with sellers across multiple different channels and areas. So we do community, we do events, seller meetups, conventions, eBay Open, Retail Revival, and more and more. And this week, Brian and Doug were out on the East Coast attending meetups in Connecticut, Massachusetts, and New York City. And we're all very excited for the main celebration of the year coming up in July, eBay Open.
eBay Open 2019 is just around the corner. You can get your tickets for eBay Open at ebayopen.com.
Yes, and anyone who buys a ticket has a special... Griff, hold on. I've just found out some news.
What?
Breaking news. I've just been informed some news about eBay Open.
What is it?
Sold out.
What?
Yes. In record time.
4 weeks, I bet.
That's all. 4 weeks. Usually takes a couple of months, but 4 weeks.
All right, you heard it here first, or second, or third.
Yeah.
eBay Open is officially sold out.
Officially sold out.
Is there any hope for the procrastinators?
Sellers can join a waiting list, and if tickets become available, we will contact them.
Oh, the tears are going to fall.
I know. I hope all my friends got tickets.
Yeah, I don't know if they did. So how do I get on the waiting list if I'm a procrastinator?
Well, you go to the website. The website is ebayopen.com. You go to register and you'll see the email address there. We ask for some bits of information for sellers to send in. So they need to send us their ID and things like that. But yeah, I would encourage sellers who haven't yet got a ticket to go and put their names on a waiting list. And if tickets become available, you'll be first to hear about it.
All right. When we tell you, you got to register early. We mean it.
We really meant it. Yeah, this year.
All right. Wow. Well, so much for breaking news.
There we go. Exciting. We have a new program we've just launched called eBay Upfront. With eBay Upfront, we are connecting with sellers in their own locales. Last month, we were in Miami, and this month, we're meeting sellers in Dallas. Check out ebay.com/meetups for event details and registration.
eBay Upfront gives you sellers who are new to the platform the chance to get up-to-date insights from eBay execs and employees like Brian Burke.
And guess what? I'll be heading to Dallas and Los Angeles in a couple of weeks, so for all the lucky attendees, they'll get to meet me.
Oh, you know, I used to go to all these. I miss them. But in the meantime, you'll be one of our e-boys out there. What's an e-boy?
I love that. Yeah, that's good. Sounds really cool.
Yeah, I haven't been called a boy in many years. Our e-boy on the street, Doug Smith, actually attended the Miami Upfront recently.
He told me he was going for spring break.
Maybe that's why he was so eager to go.
I think we'll have to check his Instagram.
Oh, I don't recommend that.
That's true.
There's no telling what you might see.
Doug couldn't be here as he's on assignment, but he told me the Miami Upfront was a great event. Sellers connected and networked over hors d'oeuvre, drinks, and root beer.
Wait. Hors d'oeuvres. Read that again.
Uh-oh.
Right, try again.
Sellers connected and networked over hors d'oeuvres, drinks, and root beer floats. Two VPs, Jay Hansen and Harry Temkin, attended, spoke, and took seller questions. Some sellers took to the stage as well, and eBay employees were there to network with sellers.
Doug actually took one of our recorders and sat down with some sellers.
Ooh.
First, here's eBay VP Jay Hansen talking about the event and takeaways for sellers.
This was awesome. I mean, what an opportunity for us to come out and be in our sellers' turf here in Miami. Where they run their businesses. We got a chance to share with them a lot of the things happening at eBay, and right now we're getting a chance to hear a lot of their feedback and ideas for how we can make eBay even better for them.
And eBay seller Carlos Alvarez tells us what he thought of Miami Upfront, selling on eBay, and the eBay community of sellers.
eBay Upfront was amazing. It was great seeing the who's who of eBay here. And a really close friend of mine, Lewis, up there actually speaking. I love it. I love seeing all the changes eBay's making for sellers and just overall in general, awesome for eBay. My biggest takeaway from the event tonight was just a sense of community. Everybody just banding together, helping each other out. Again, the who's who of eBay, just showing us things and just how to grow as people, as businesses.
What a great event. I'm looking forward to Dallas Upfront. Well, Griff, unfortunately, that's all that fits this week. Guess I'll see you next time.
Coming up next, the main story. Welcome to the main story. We're talking about knowing your buyers. And with us now is eBay seller John Davis. On eBay, he's known as Sarge and Reds. They're toy and collectible sellers on eBay. John's going to tell us about what he knows about his buyers. Welcome, John.
Hey, Griff, how are you doing?
I'm okay. Thanks for joining us today.
Sure, no problem.
John is joining us by Skype. The audio quality is pretty good, John.
All right, I try. I aim to please, you know, customer service and whatnot. See what I did there?
I think I'm going to like where this is going. How did you get started on eBay?
My wife and I were trying to raise money for an adoption, and my parents threw us a fundraiser to try to raise funds. It was a bowling fundraiser, and, you know, friends and family would come, and I don't know how the back ends of it work, but long and short of it is a couple of my friends from high school, they didn't have any money, so they gave me a bunch of Magic the Gathering cards. Said, hey, you can sell these. We went from there. I kind of looked at the cards, and I was like, I remember this game. I was like, okay, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. And I started looking up values and seeing that individual cards were worth, you know, a lot of money, some of them. So we just kind of got started from there. And that's how we got started selling on eBay. And we've kind of expanded it from there to collectibles, toys, things like that.
How is that market doing, by the way? I know that Magic the Gathering was a huge phenomenon for a while.
It still is. I mean, there's a new set getting ready to come out early next month, I believe it is. So they're still running strong. It's been 25 years plus now. I guess we're in the 26th year that the game's been around. But it's probably my biggest seller.
This is how you started out. You sell other collectibles now. Can you give us an idea of how expansive your current inventory is?
With Magic cards, I have over a million cards.
What?
I have a ton of them. I don't know if you can see behind me, I have one card catalog behind me. We're actually in the process of moving, so I've already moved two of them out, but those are filled with Magic cards, and then I have the boxes of cards. It's probably about a million at least.
We're actually talking by Skype, so I can see, and I assume you can see me. Is my camera on?
No, I just see your smiling face up in the corner.
Oh, okay, good. That's enough. I don't think you would need it. But I can see behind you there's an interesting, it looks like a huge library file cabinet.
Yeah, that's what that is. It's actually from an old library, and I have everything sorted by set, and they're alphabetized inside of there. And I have three of those. Like I said, we just moved one out. This is the only one that's left. The store is shut down right now while we're in the process of moving everything, obviously. But I will be opening it back up in probably about a week, 2 weeks.
Now you can see me.
Oh, now I can see you. Right. We're done. This interview's over.
Right. Oh, I'm sorry. Is it that shocking? We're talking about buyers and the importance of buyers, and every seller has a philosophy, a strategy, or perspective on buyers. There are some sellers who actually think of buyers as a sort of necessary inconvenience. I don't want to use the word evil, but, you know, oh, I got to deal with buyers. How do you view your buyers?
Well, the way I look at it is we wouldn't be here without our buyers. Who am I going to sell to if there's no buyers? I don't look at them as a necessary evil or a necessary anything other than they're part of the process of commerce. You can't have a seller without a buyer. So I disagree with people who think that. And I think, you know, it goes back to the old adage of I don't think the customer's always right, because I've had some people that obviously are difficult. But you want to treat people the way you want to be treated. You want that repeat business. The way I work is I have the customers who are basically the buyers on eBay. Yeah. And I also have another customer who is the customer I'm buying from, who I'm sourcing from. So I think you have to treat everybody fair and equal, and karma goes around, comes around type thing. And you treat people the way you want to be treated. I've had a lot of repeat customers on both ends, people who I've bought items from to resell that they know I give them a fair price. So they'll either give me other people they're friends with and send them my way, or they'll find other stuff and they'll come to me. And the same thing goes with selling. If you have a fair price and you market everything correctly and you show good pictures and don't try to hide flaws, the customer, they're going to be happy with what you're selling them.
What buyers want changes so fast, and I'm curious to know how you stay on top of that in your categories.
Particularly with the Magic cards, the market is always fluctuating, so prices can shoot up one day, drop down the next day. If a card is doing really well in a deck or if it gets reprinted, the market just shifts as far as the price goes. So I kind of have to stay on top of what's popular as far as the cards go, because these things, like I said, they go back 25 years. And while I'd like to have every single one I have listed, that's probably not possible. So I really have to kind of look at the game and see what cards are spiking in price. And those are the ones that I want to go find and pull out, because there's obviously a demand for them. So the demand changes based on the meta of the game and new cards that come out that make an old card more valuable to players. It's a lot of that. There's actually pages that have, like, it's almost like a stock market ticker where you can see the prices go up and down. And, right. And it's kind of intense.
It's like trading stocks, only it's trading cards. Do you still play the game, by the way?
Not much. I mean, I know how to play. I'm not very good, but trying to find the time to do it, you know, with work and then the business and all that. I'm actually getting ready to go full time, and I'll be retiring from my full time job, and we'll be doing this full time.
Wait, I thought, so you're juggling two jobs right now, self-employed business. Yeah. What else do you do besides this?
I work for a local sheriff's department.
That must be fun.
Yeah, it's fun. I have one day left.
One day? We caught you on your last day. Yeah, you should break out the champagne.
Yeah, right. Friday is my last day. And then we're moving, like I said, we're moving up to Michigan from West Virginia.
On your website, it says you pride yourself on your customer service. And that's great. You know that most businesses will say that. But of course, the proof is when the situation arises, then you really have to sort of go the extra mile. Do you remember a difficult buyer situation that you were able to turn around?
I don't know if it was necessarily a difficult buyer, but it was an interesting situation. The card catalogs you see behind me when I purchased them were full of the catalog cards from the library, like the Dewey Decimal System cards.
Sure.
Well, I sell those, and they're actually a really good seller. I sell them in lots of 100 to 1,000, and people buy these to do crafts or whatnot. So I sold a set of, I want to say it was 200 to a woman, and it says in the listing that, you know, I can't sort by certain authors, I can't sort by titles, because they're really just in boxes. So I just kind of grab them and do it by weight. And I sent her the cards, and she gets them, and she sends me back a message. She's like, well, I'm kind of disappointed in this, because all the cards were, I think it was like political science and something else that was just like something nobody wants to deal with.
Sure.
And she's like, can you replace these? And I was like, well, ma'am, you know, it says I can't really look at the titles and look them up. That would be impossible. I said, I tell you what, if you want to buy some more, you know, if you buy another whatever, I'll throw in an extra XYZ and you could toss those ones. So I think I turned that around to where actually I got some more sales, because she ended up buying multiple times from me.
Of course, yeah.
But, you know, what's 100 card catalog cards at the end of the day? They were actually with this. I didn't pay for them. It's just extra money. I was going to throw them away. And then I started looking on eBay and I was like, holy moly, people are buying these things.
Yeah, I would have never thought that Dewey Decimal cards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people buy them left and right.
I guess
so I think that
I missed the boat on that one. We always do this thing. It's a new thing I like to do. I didn't come up with this. You probably heard it before, but I like to do the elevator pitch. And we're in a very tall building at the bottom floor. And I get in and I see you're wearing a little eBay pin. And I say,
I get off on the first floor if I see you get in.
Well, so much for the elevator pitch. All right. I'm going to coerce you without a weapon to stay in the elevator until we get to the 100th floor. It's going to take about a minute. Hey, I'd like to sell on eBay, John. Can you tell me three things I should think about before I start selling on eBay?
I think the three things that you're going to have to think about is time, because you need time to do it.
Yeah.
Space, because depending on what you have, you're going to have a lot of space that's going to be taken up by stock. And then patience. Not the doctor kind, but the kind where you have to wait. Because when you first get started, you're a new seller.
Yeah.
You might expect a lot of stuff to get sold really fast, or you expect things to just kind of fall into your lap and you're going to roll because you see that people are doing a good job. But it takes time. You have to build up that customer service. You have to build up your brand name. You have to build up your feedback. So you do need to be patient. You're not going to get a million sales right off the bat. So I think those would be the three things, you know, space, time, and patience that you need to do this. A lot of people I work with now, they're like, oh, you have that easy eBay money. And I look at them, I'm like, you're crazy. There's nothing easy about this at all.
I mean, just look behind you. You got to sort through that catalog. Yeah.
Exactly. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. No one would sell me products to sell because exactly. They would just do it themselves. So it's not as easy as people think. eBay does make it easy. It gives you the worldwide audience and the customer base, but you know, you're still going to work. It's not an easy job.
Of course. Ding. Oh, there's my floor. We're at the 100th. John, I want to thank you so much for those 3 points. I'm going to get out here. I don't know where you're going. There's no other floor to go, but I guess you go back down to the lobby.
I was just going to follow you around for the rest of the day.
Oh, no.
You started it. You're going to hear more.
Well, it's exciting to hear that you're going into this full time. Is it with some trepidation, or are you pretty confident that you're going to be able to continue growing this business?
I think I'm going to be able to continue growing it. The one thing that I am a little, I guess, I don't want to say nervous, but that I think about a lot is where I'm at now. I'm in the Washington, D.C., Baltimore region. So I have a ton of people to source from. You know, I go to Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Virginia, Maryland, all these places to buy items. Where I'm moving to, I'm kind of in Michigan. It's a great state. I love it up there, but I'm surrounded on three sides by water. So if I'm going to be driving, I only have a certain amount of people there. So I think I'm going to be traveling more to actually source merchandise.
Well, if I find any Magic the Gathering cards, I'll send them to you.
Well, I buy old toys, too.
Old toys? You want me to
say? Yeah, old action figures, you know, things from like the 80s and earlier.
I'm afraid the only action figure I ever collected was there's a set of Rocky Horror Show figures with Riff Raff, Frankenfurter, and Columbia. I don't know if that's part of your wheelhouse, but...
Hey, if I could sell them, that's part of my wheelhouse.
John, you're the kind of seller I love to talk to. It's been great. John, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk to us about your buyers and your business.
Sure thing.
We've been speaking with John Davis of Sarge and Reds, and he's been talking about knowing your buyers and how to get started on business on eBay. Coming up next, stay tuned. It's time for another edition of Inside eBay. We're talking about know your buyers. We're speaking with both sellers in our main stories, and we're speaking with eBay employees, specifically team leaders and executives, on their take of buyers, how important they are, and what we're doing to capture them for our sellers. And joining us right now is VP and General Manager of Soft Goods, Sam Bright. Sam, welcome to the show again.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here. Always good to spend time with our sellers.
Remind our sellers who you are, what your role entails, and how long you've been at eBay.
Yeah, I've been at eBay. It'll be 7 years in July. My role is to lead the soft goods team and set of categories. And soft goods encompasses several of our verticals, some of our longest standing verticals, art and collectibles, media, toys and lifestyle, sporting goods, and then pet supplies, food and crafts.
Now, can you talk us through a soft good buyer's mindset when they're shopping and buying on a site like eBay? Who are they? Why do they choose eBay?
I think it varies quite a bit by category and also by the life stage segment that folks are in. Like, I'm a seller on eBay. I'm selling a Funko Pop Chewbacca right now. And I'm imagining that the buyer on the other end may be a Star Wars enthusiast, or it might be someone who is a pop collector across the board, or it might be someone who is purchasing as a gift for a family member who they know is really into that inventory. Part of it is really trying to get into the mindset of your buyer and what are they looking for. And a lot of that ties to the category. So for example, for the pop that I'm selling it as an auction, and I'm thinking about, I'm using promoted listings because I want to get as much visibility for it as I possibly can as a C2C seller. And I'm also thinking about, okay, how do I make sure that the inventory is photographed the right way, that it doesn't put off the buyer for any reason? I'm not the greatest photographer in the world, but I've spent a little bit of time trying to make sure it shows up the right way when someone's scrolling through a set of items and listings. Also thinking about how the listing is referred to with the Funko Pop, because as a barcode, I use the eBay mobile app and I can just scan the barcode and it'll pre-populate a lot of the listing title for me. And then I pull in additional item description details. But if I didn't have that as an option, I'd be very thoughtful about, like, what are the keywords that when someone's searching for an item as a buyer, it'll pop up both in terms of Google search and also in terms of eBay search. There's a lot of that. Going back to the beginning of the question, the reason why I say it matters who your buyer is and putting yourself in the mind of the buyer and how that varies by category is that I also have a feral cat that when I bought my house came by every day and has been part of the journey of being a homeowner.
Have you given it a name?
I have. It's called Tux. It's a little tuxedo cat.
Black and white.
Black and white. And he's never let me pet him, but he always expects his food, as he did from the prior owner.
Cats.
Cats. Right. I know. They're very demanding. I buy my pet food on eBay. And as I'm buying my pet food, I have a very different perspective on what I'm expecting from a seller on the other end than I do when I go and buy an exclusive piece of art or a Funko Pop. There, I'm really looking for free shipping and I'm really looking for how quickly can that food get to me, because my cat isn't super patient in terms of waiting for the food to arrive. And
does it sit outside your door and scream?
It sits outside my door and stares at me like, human, what's going on? And I'm thinking about, is it a brand that I know and that I feel comfortable with this being the good cat food for Tux? That's my mindset as a buyer. And a seller on the other end, if they're listing pet food in the pet supplies category, needs to call out the things that are going to be most important to me as a pet food buyer. And if I'm a Funko Pop seller, thinking about a Funko buyer, same thing with Dolls and Bears or with Militaria or with any of the other more traditional collectible categories. There are certain things that are really important to buyers, and really understanding them and putting yourself in their mindset is what drives greater conversion, which makes all of us happy.
We've talked a lot about this, that you have an interest in the antiques and collectibles market.
That's right. I've spent a lot of time thinking about it while I've been here at eBay. And then also when I first came into the role leading the art and collectibles business, which was my prior role before this role,
yeah,
I picked up my coin collecting hobby, which I hadn't really indulged that much since when I was a kid. But now I started getting into, you know, Morgan silver dollars and other things my parents wouldn't have purchased for me way back when. And thinking through, you know, graded versus ungraded inventory and really looking for good deals as I was going through the auctions ending soon, search results around that. So I used a lot of our browse filters to help me get to the type of coins that were really intriguing. I was looking at key dates and what I was missing and trying to fill that in. And then also thinking about the right price points and trying to cross-reference based on what I knew about the market. And in that case, as a buyer, I was looking for graded inventory. So if someone didn't really have the right keywords or the right attributes adopted that would enable me when I was searching to find an NGC or a PCGS graded Morgan silver dollar that's tied to a particular key date that I was missing, I wouldn't see that item. I wouldn't be able to purchase it, right?
And you'd miss out and the seller misses out.
And the seller would miss out. Yeah. Everybody is really busy running a business, and especially as a small and medium-sized business, you always have more on your plate at all given times. But a lot of the reasons why we give suggestions to sellers around, like, hey, you want to make sure that you have aspects filled out so that people can find you when they filter in the left-hand nav and when browse nodes are out there trying to make it easier for buyers to sort through the wide variety of items that are available on the platform. It's just really important to keep that in mind in terms of, like, what is going to help bring buyers into your store and help your items stand out so you can make the money.
When we're talking about buyers of hard goods or in different categories that are more commodity related, certain service level requirements to compete in commodity type items are not as important, or they're different when it comes to soft goods in antiques, collectibles, art. Mm-hmm. Things like free shipping, that's always good, but it doesn't seem to be as big a component in buyers' minds? Is that the case that you've discovered over time?
Yeah, I think it totally varies by the price point, by the item, and by the category. And so, for example, when I think about the seller messages or the M2Ms that are going back and forth, when I'm selling a collectible coin or I'm selling a Funko Pop or I'm selling an art piece or I have some stamps that I sell periodically, when I'm selling those things, the questions that I'm usually getting from buyers are all around item condition. What condition is this in? Can I see a few additional photos in some cases? What is the narrative or the story of like how this came into your possession?
The provenance.
Yeah. That's the word I was looking for. Like wanting to understand that as part of being able to assess the value in their minds as the buyer of purchasing from me. And then also the likely appreciation of that item over time, because it's really interesting given the different types of categories that I have the privilege of looking after. There are some that are consumables, food and beverages and pet supplies in some cases, where they're less likely to appreciate in price. They're more to fit a specific need. And yes, there are other items, even looking outside of core collectibles, things that have appreciating value, like rare vinyl. And like we're starting to see some interesting news articles pop up about even tape cassettes and VHS tapes that have scarcity and therefore price appreciation if there's enough cultural significance tied to them. So as a result, you need to really calibrate your listing and really calibrate sort of what you're adopting tied to what the buyer's expectations are. And sure, shipping is important across the board. Like nobody wants to wait 3 months for an item, no matter how collectible it is. But in some cases, you're going to need to invest further in optimizing the attributes so that it can be discovered in search. And in other cases, you're going to need to invest even further in like, how can I get even faster on the shipping front or on the returns front? It's really where our teams try to partner with the sellers. We're constantly running studies at our end to see, hey, what do buyers say across various categories and across the site in terms of what causes them to purchase? And then that's the guidance that we try to transmit through our seller updates and through the various community boards. Because we have a shared incentive. We both want your items to sell. You want your items to sell. And so when we partner together, hopefully it leads to a great outcome.
What about the sellers that you talk to in these different categories? Are their concerns matched category to category? Or do you hear different things from these sellers about their buyers and their inventory that illuminates on your end what your team needs to do to help provide better support and better success to these sellers?
Yeah, for sure. Let's pick on the bullion category for a second.
Oh, yes,
like,
bullion, yeah.
Like the sellers there need to be able to run anti-money laundering checks. That's high enough dollar volume purchases. They need to be able to understand the identity of the buyer because of federal regulation. That's very different than when you're selling catnip or you're selling, you know, wine. So being really close to the sellers helps us understand the buyers and vice versa. That's why we spend a decent amount of time going to trade shows and showing up in publications that we know are relevant to the community, because these things are ever evolving. And as these hobbies, these interests, these passion areas ever evolve. And then, you know, you have some really interesting categories like toys that are comprised of both collectible items. Like you see that with a lot of certain areas of dolls and certain areas of bears and certain areas of, you know, RC parts and things along those lines, but also have a lot of the new and in-season items that you'll see with like the fidget spinners or the Hatchimals or the latest collectible card game that comes out. Really spending time with the community and in the industry is critical for us to hear the differences in needs that emerge, because the nature of many of these categories and the passion and hobby behind them is that their strength comes from their difference. So how do we as a team recognize, acknowledge that, and to the extent that we're capable, be able to support it?
Is there something that you can recall in the last year that you learned about buyers within a particular category, something that surfaced that was different from the year before that caused your team to approach these buyers differently, even to the point of maybe changing the product on the site?
One of the things that we did in Q4 was we spent a good amount of time thinking about what are the top searched item specifics, which you'll notice as you go through like a listing flow, and often that'll surface in the left-hand nav. And then thought about how do we enrich the values there and then start to encourage sellers to include that as they're filling items out, so that then when people are searching for items, it'll actually build more history from a ranking perspective. It will surface in more of the front-end product experiences that we have, et cetera. You think about things like year for a sports card. That's an aspect that we would encourage our sellers to fill out as much as possible because of the fact that if I'm going and I'm searching for a 1973 X, Y, or Z, being able to actually have my inventory show up in that filter is really important. So certainly there's the learnings on the product experience and how we keep on trying to partner both with our sellers and with the product team in terms of where we focus our time. But then when I think about specific categories, there's a couple things that come to mind. One is really understanding some of the rise of colored vinyl, which is a newer trend, or at least a newer trend to me, and thinking about, okay, how do we speak to that buyer need?
These are vinyl LPs or 45 mm-hmm. Records.
Yeah, that's right. Record. That's right. And there's been more of an interest in colored vinyl as opposed to the traditional vinyl. So that's something that's been interesting for us to think about. There are always the individual cultural moments that emerge and understanding what buyers are reacting to and also understanding what they're reacting to less, right? Like Black Panther and Wonder Woman were very significant cultural moments that ended up reflecting themselves and people self-expressing through purchases. And in some cases, those had a lot of enduring interest that actually reawakened things that had been on the site for a long period of time because buyers were suddenly discovering these stories anew and saying, hey, what is out there? And then going and searching on them. And so those, it was super interesting to learn that.
Yeah.
There's also the spate of high-end auctions that we've been doing recently in terms of sports cards that have broken various records. And so those in and of themselves bring up all sorts of different issues. I think there are a couple of interesting trends that have emerged over the past couple of years that speak to just how buyers are gamifying the collectible experience, especially the new generation of buyers. For example, we pushed pretty hard to reverse the policy that we had had for a long time against case breaks. And the reason why we did that is because we saw that a lot of our younger collectors within sports trading cards really liked being able to take a stake in a box set and then be able to kind of have a little bit of the excitement of figuring out what kind of card would actually be seen once it was open. And then if it was a very valuable card, being able to benefit in the upside. There are whole YouTube channels right now dedicated to folks who are breaking these boxes as they come out. And it's become an interesting business.
Did we not allow that in the past?
No, we hadn't allowed it in the past. And so that was an area where the verticals and my team saw that and heard that feedback from sellers and buyers a couple years ago and said, hey, you know, I'm sure we had good reasons years ago when we put these policy preventions in place, but let's refresh the policy. And so that opened that up. Similarly, mystery boxes aren't new, but if you look at a lot of the social activity around eBay, there's old influencers who love getting mystery boxes off of eBay and then actually videotaping themselves, showcasing what they get. It's a really interesting, engaging way to approach a mystery box. And it's just sort of people liking the gamification of what they might get from someone else. Again, these categories are constantly evolving because they're a reflection of the culture. Our job is to try to stay on top of that and to listen to our sellers and listen to our buyers and understand like how that is evolving and how eBay can be a support and multiplier of that.
I've learned a lot just sitting and listening to you, Sam, as I always do. Thanks again for coming in.
Well, thank you for having me. Always enjoy these conversations.
Same here. We've been speaking with Sam Bright. Sam is the Vice President and General Manager of Soft Goods here at eBay. Stay tuned. We have more coming up in just a moment. And that's our show for this week.
Oh, it went by so fast.
I know, Alan. That happens when you have great guests and great topics.
And don't forget great hosts.
Aw, shucks. We try, Alan. Mm-hmm. Do we know if Doug will be back with us soon?
Yeah, Doug is back from his road trip next week, so stay tuned. I believe he's captured lots of sound bites from attendees at the meetups that he and Brian visited, so we might have some good ones to share during next week's buzz.
Sellers always have a lot to say to eBay employees. There should be some interesting comments.
To say the least. Tell them what's on for next week, Griff.
Certainly. Next week is the last show on our theme of Know Your Buyers. It will be time to talk fashion, a subject near and dear to my heart. And to that end, we'll meet eBay fashion seller Mary Zaragoza, who will talk about how she approaches her fashion buyers.
I bet buyers of fashion have very specific needs.
Oh, they do. Like measurements, for a start.
Yes, measurements. XL and size 6 mean nothing these days.
Oh, tell me about it.
Or better yet, tell my closet about it. Standardization is dead, Alan. Those old labels mean nothing today.
I see. So you're telling me measurements are an absolute must on eBay.
I am telling you exactly that. If your goal is to maximize buyer happiness and minimize returns on fashion, you really have to include measurements when listing that apparel.
I learn something new every day. Yep. I'll make note of that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
What's on Inside eBay next week?
Next time on Inside eBay, we'll talk to the head of the fashion category. Her name is Renee Paradise. And if you sell apparel, aka fashion, you're not going to want to miss it. Renee also sells on eBay, so she has some serious skin in the fashion selling game. And if you have something to say, you can always give us a call. You haven't forgotten that hotline number, have you?
I sure hope not, but in case you did, and in case you want to join in the fun here on the Selling on eBay show by sharing your say with us, give us a call on 888-723-4630.
That's right. Call us on 888-723-4630. We say on right now because that's very European.
Okay.
You can call that hotline any time of day, Alan, any day of the week. You can leave a question or comment, and we just might put it on the air.
We have our very own email address where you can send your questions if you prefer. It's sellingonebay@ebay.com. One more time, it's sellingonebay@ebay.com.
Yeah, we look forward to getting your mail. So please send us an email or give us a call, 888-723-4630. And you know, I know spring should have sprung by now. And for many of you across the country, sadistic old winter hasn't relaxed its icy grip. Ah, but don't lose hope. Winter can't last forever, can it?
At least for now it can't.
Yeah, talk about climate change. Spring is coming. So put on those mukluks and your woolly toque and your puffy down parka and sashay down to a local eBay seller meetup in your area. At seller meetups, sellers share lots of stuff like tips and stories, insights, and even complaints. And you can see meetups that are scheduled on our special eBay community page for meetups at www.ebay.com/meetups.
And don't forget to tune into our weekly live video stream on the eBay for Business Facebook page every Wednesday at 12:30 Pacific. Go to facebook.com/ebayforbusiness. And also on Wednesdays on our community platform, we have a one-hour Ask Me Anything style chat where you can ask eBay employees your burning questions. You can get to the chat at ebay.com/community chat, and that is every Wednesday from 1 to 2.
Yeah, remember, if you're jonesing for Audrey, you can always catch her on the Facebook Live.
Exactly. Right, get to see what she's up to these days.
In her fashion sense. She always wears something new.
It's the highlight of my week.
It's the highlight of my week. We miss her so much here.
Yes.
And I'm never going to stop saying that, Audrey, until you come back. And sadly, that's our show for this week. Now break out your handkerchiefs. It's time to crank the rickety old eBay podcast credit reel. Director of Community, Brian Burke.
Community Manager and Technology and News Editor, Doug Smith.
Marketing Strategist, Liz Austin.
Editor-in-Chief and Host, Griff.
And last but not least, our back-by-popular-demand co-host, you, Alan.
Oh, thank you, Griff. Always good to be here.
Selling on eBay is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.
Hey, Griff.
Yeah.
You mentioned a toque? What's a toque? And what are mukluks?
Toque? You don't know what a toque is?
No.
You've never been to Canada?
No, I haven't.
It's those wool hats they wear.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mukluks are the stuff you wear on your feet when you're walking in the snow.
Are they Canadian, too?
Actually, they may be Eskimo. I don't know.
Toque and mukluk.
Yeah.
Fun to say.
You do know what a downy parka is.
I can guess what it is.
You put it on.
Yeah.
All right. You go out in the cold. Don't you have cold in Ireland?
We have lots of cold. Yeah, more cold than we have in San Jose. But we would call that a puffer jacket.
A puffer jacket?
Puffer jacket. Mm. Yeah, that's the term we would use.
What would you call something on your head? A tam o'shanter?
Hair. If you have any.
Yeah, I don't. Thanks
Man bun on my head.
All right, that's the last week here on the show. We'll see you sometime in the future.
See you later.